This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Hello, Paul, and hello to all the podcast listeners out there.
Absolutely. Lots of things to talk about. And of course, your website will give the details as soon as we've finished this podcast to let people know where they can go to find out some fantastic information that you have. Now, this is an interesting one, the first one. No one has got into your smartphone and installed a secret COVID-19 app. Is this story going around at the moment?
This is a huge story, especially on social media. People would have gone along and looked at their iPhone, looked at their Android phone, and suddenly they've got references to a COVID-19 app in there.
Mm.
You do not have a COVID-19 app installed secretly by Apple or Google. Hopefully you've got the one installed by the federal government that you've installed by the federal government. But all this is, we've got to remember, Paul, Apple and Google are worldwide, right around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go along and put the groundwork in case somebody wants to install a COVID-19 app on there that they've designed. Now, the federal government doesn't use this basically code that Apple and Google have gone along and done and put on your phone, but it's there in case somebody wants to go along and do it. So, no, there is no COVID-19 app on your phone. All it is the framework in case another one comes along that they want to use afterwards. So that's all it is. So, you know, nobody can install it on your phone because you would get a pop-up on your phone that says, we need you to agree to these things, like we do for every app that we install. So it's a bit of a fair fee at the moment. It's just laying the groundwork in case another one comes along.
Both you and I agree that the government COVID app, the Tracer app, is worthwhile putting on your device. I don't think you and I are in disagreement about that.
No.
However, there's been these stories that the app, the government app, isn't working correctly. Do you know what the latest is? Have they sort of ironed out the bugs?
I think they've ironed out the bugs on the people go along and say it's not working, and it's working. But we need more people to install it. But what happens is people keep opening up the app all the time to have a look.
Right.
You don't need to. It sits there and it just gathers the information. Leave the thing alone. You know, people are going, oh, it's not doing anything, Richard. I keep looking at it every day. You don't have to. Once you've installed it, leave the bloody thing alone. But what was it? A watch kettle never boils.
That's exactly
right. Leave the bloody thing alone, all right?
All right. Now, listen, emails. We get tons and tons of emails. I mean, it's the bane of our life sometimes. But how much email will your ISP let you store on their servers?
You've got to pay real close attention to what I'm about to tell you. There is one very big ISP out there at the moment who's begun to crack down on the amount of email that people are storing on their servers. Now, they're saying I've got to say, there are a couple of them out there, 1 gigabyte is all you can store. You'll get a warning from them that basically saying you've exceeded your limit. You need to do something about that. And people are ignoring it. Now, I've talked to a couple of people this week who've rung this internet service provider, and they've been told in no uncertain terms, get your emails off, move it to Gmail, move it to somewhere else. We are not in the business of supplying storage for emails or sorting your email issues out.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that one, that you know, you've backed up your emails so you can export them to, like, you know, Outlook or Gmail. Learn how to archive your emails in out if you're using Outlook as well, which means that, you know, you only store on their servers the last 6 months, everything else you've pulled off and storing on your computer. Because if suddenly you got tapped on the shoulder, you'd be devastated, Paul. You got tapped on the shoulder if Marion told you all the emails are gone because you exceeded your limit. You'd be devastated. You'd be gutted.
Because there's emails in there from advertisers, from different people to do with the radio station. That would be awful.
It'd be awful. So, you know, people are getting these. I'm sure the IT guys up there are working with people right now. I'm working with people where I am as well to make sure that, you know, they don't lose their emails.
We're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. Richard, of course, we've had the Prime Minister talk about this. We've had the cyber attack from another country. The country hasn't been named, but we are in the midst of it, aren't we?
We are. We can probably say it might start with a C.
It might start with a C. It might end in an A, but we're not mentioning countries.
No, we're not mentioning countries at all, Paul. So, you know, or it might start with an R as well. So let's throw all those out. Don't you love it when ScoMo gets on, you know, our beloved Prime Minister gets on the air and says, it was a state-based actor. Every time they say that, Geoffrey Rush comes to mind.
Yes, well, no, that's exactly right. Now, you might mention that in jest, but that's exactly what I thought. I went home to Marion and I said, there's an actor responsible for this. And I'm thinking Russell Crowe, Geoffrey Rush. I'm thinking of all the Aussie actors. I don't know why I thought of men. It could be a woman. I thought,
Kate Blanchett. We don't get accused of being sexist.
Yes, well, Kate Blanchett. Oh, yeah. So it's not an actor, but why do they say an actor? Why do they say an actor, a state-based actor?
Because it's pretending to be something else to get into the country. It really is. It's pretending. So, you know, they're knocking on the door of Australian businesses at the moment. I mean, the devastating thing about this at the moment is they probably attack on Lion Nathan where, you know, I go to the pub now, Paul, some beers I can't get. We need to fix this, Paul. Pubs are out there doing God's work at the moment, so
yes,
we need to make sure that all the beers are flowing.
Of course.
So we need to be protected.
But, Richard, this is a very serious matter. So where do we stand at the moment with this cyber attack on some of our major companies?
We're struggling a bit at the moment out there because people are not spending the money on infrastructure as they should. But, you know, there's some lessons out of it, Paul, that we can all learn from. And I know I keep going on about this, but, you know, if you're in business, you know, and the big businesses, and it doesn't matter what size you are, you know, it's about keeping the operating system updated on every device that comes into your home or that business as well. So that's your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. Make sure you've done your Windows updates, your Android updates, your app updates. They're your first line of defense. Then it's keeping all your software updated, your Office software, your PDF software, your Adobe products. Do the updates on them. I had somebody yesterday wanted me to install Office 2003 on their Windows 10 computer.
Oh.
No, it ain't going to happen, right? That's got more, you know, so many security holes in it. If you're running Windows 7 or older, it's time to upgrade or buy a new computer.
Yes.
And I want you to, you know, check all emails. Be suspicious because all of these, you know, every time we see a cyber attack on something, it's by an email that somebody's gone and opened. That's 99% of the time.
Yes. And you mentioned the other week, actually, if you're running Windows 7, Microsoft will let you upgrade that, but no cost.
At no cost, you know, which is great. So check your emails. Have good passwords on there as well. And, you know, finally, you know, for personal people out there, turn on two-factor authentication on all your accounts, your Google, your Apple, your Microsoft. Give them your mobile phone number so you don't lose access to your email account.
Good stuff. Good advice from Richard there. We get to the crap tech item of the week. Now, this is an interesting one, $33.10.
Why would you, you know, for a start, there's a bit of a warning for you. Why would you have 10 cents on the end of this?
It's strange. Just make it $33 or $31.
Exactly right. But $33.10, I don't understand this.
Strange. So, yeah. Very strange. Very strange. Now, this crap thing you got this way, it's a smartwatch. Now, smartwatches are terrific. I've got one, of course. Marion bought it for Christmas for me a couple of years ago. But this is a smartwatch with a Bluetooth earphone. Now, it sounds very good.
It does. But for $33.10, it's not. You've got a decent, you've got a wonderful Apple Watch on your wrist. I've got one of mine. Let me tell you, people, this ain't no Apple Watch, all right? So what happens is it's got a terrible looking piece of plastic on the front of it where it's got the your time written on there in barely legible LED readout. If you lift that up, Paul, inside are your Bluetooth earphones. Sounds great, doesn't it?
It does.
Now, it does. So, you know, it says keep track of your workout. It ain't going to keep track of your workout. As well as your earplugs at the same time of the watch, the two-in-one smart band. This ain't too smart. It says it's the latest in wearable technology. 1980s calling it, wants it to come back. It lets you analyse your health vitals while keeping your earbuds safe and sound under its touchscreen. I still haven't worked that sentence out yet, Paul, but it sounds good. It says keep them intact while its magnetic charger juices them simultaneously.
Juices them.
Can I just say that is the untechiest word I've ever heard. So, you know, let's juice it up. So, and the exact words are, it record information like your heart rate. Every time we see grammatical errors, Paul, we know to avoid this. Step count, the display's in your smartphone. The app is terrible on there. It says whether it's iOS or Android, easily check your stats. It's going to be an approximation, Paul. If you run 1 kilometre, it might come up with anywhere from 100 metres to 5 kilometres. It also lets you keep up with the incoming calls and texts. How does it do that, Paul? Your phone rings.
Yeah.
It tells you you've got to take your earbuds out and put your phone up to your ear to go along and hear it.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And did this come from a place starts with C and ends with A?
Get out of it. I never would have guessed that. Yes, it did, Paul. So, yes.
Right.
The smartwatch with Bluetooth earphones. And you can buy two of them for $29.60. If somebody says you want a smartwatch for $33.10, avoid it like the plague.
Ah, thank goodness that you're here to tell us about these crap tech things, because people would be buying them. And now they say, right, cross it off the old list.
That's right.
What a waste of $33.10.
That's right.
Your website, give us the address.
Head over to talktech.com.au. We've got information up there about the COVID app that we just talked about and keeping yourself safe. There are a couple of the articles I've written this week.
Good on you, Richard. We'll catch you next week for the podcast.
No, just look forward to it, Paul.